Romans 12:11. We are still looking at serving the Lord. Romans 12:11. Serving the Lord. I'm sure we have a teaching like that already. So we just put serving the Lord 2017. Romans 12:11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. On Sunday, we looked at the word Christian service. What do you mean, service? Sometimes you come to a gathering, you say, I went for service. And the truth is, you probably didn't do anything that looked like service. You just came in, you got blessed by the word, you were ministered to, maybe you even gave, but not necessarily that you served anybody, you know, in that instance. So you said that you, when you say you are serving the Lord, you must talk about people. You don't serve the Lord in a vacuum. I told you on Sunday. We said also that God hasn't asked you to love Him. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love you. I love you. If somebody steps on your toes, you go, are you crazy? That's the Jesus you said you love. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And my soul will follow. You see that one, then someone says, sorry, I've not eaten since last night. Oh, mambo, shikaskada, whatever. You don't love Jesus. That's the Jesus you should love. Who remembers the teaching, I am Jesus? Remember, I am Jesus? Was it last year or year before? Was last year. I am Jesus. Sometimes you need to get a hold of that too. So, loving God is loving the church. We said that. Remember? Remember that on Sunday? So let's go further now. Romans 12. It says, not slothful in business. Now let's read the previous verses. Verse 9 says, let love be without pretense. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. The word dissimulation there means pretense. When you tell people, oh, somebody, tell them that. You know that song? You want to sing it? Oh, somebody, tell them that you love. I love you with your hands together. Oh, no. You know, you say that, then after the service, after saying, oh, somebody, don't mind that, brother. You don't love the Lord. Loving the Lord is loving the church. That's what John said. Love the brethren. So he says, loving without dissimulation, loving without pretense. Praise the Lord. About that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Then he says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with what? Brotherly love. The word affection there is already love. Affection. Then he uses brotherly love, which is where you have Philadelphia. A love that comes from the same womb. We have the same parents. Brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Now, do you notice that in the epistles, the family were told to love deeply is spiritual, not natural. You know why? Because you don't need to be told in church to love your earthly family. You know that naturally. You don't have to be a Christian to do that. But to see people that you were not born from the same earthly family and see them as family, you need to be taught the word and see the person as really your brother. So it's brotherly affection. brotherly affection, brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Then it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So when you love the brethren, what are you doing? You are serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The word slothful there is where you have diligence. It's the word spode. It's a noun. S-P-O-U-D-E. You know we have spodazo. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show that it's ever proved unto God. Spodazo. Which is be diligent. Be fervent. Something like that. Or be, no, no, not fervent. Be earnest. Be diligent. Yeah, be diligent. Same word that you find in 2 Timothy 4, that should be verse 9. So you have the same, that's the verb. But this one is the noun. Spode. S-P-O-U-D-E. It means to be diligent. Now, diligence simply means don't do it halfway. Don't do it half measure. Do it at the right time. Not slothful in business. The word business, I meant, is the word spode, not the word slothful. I just mixed that up. It means to don't be slow. Don't be lazy at being diligent. What a strong word, or strong mix of words. Don't be lazy at being diligent. Spode. He uses the same term in verse 8, where he mentions he that will give. Then he says, he that rules with diligence. Diligence. Same word, spode. And then you find in Hebrews 6:11, that word is used, I believe, 12 times. Then Hebrews 6:11. The word business there is the word diligence. Hebrews 6:11. It says, and we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence. What diligence now? Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to who? Come on now, Hebrews 6:10. Minister to who? And do minister. You see? So, he's using diligence for the same thing. To love the brethren. The labor of love. He says, don't just minister. Some people say, well, I have done it before. No, that's not what he says. He's saying, you must do it all the time. You must minister to the saints. Be diligent at it. Then also, 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5. And besides, giving all diligence, heart to your faith, virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge. Be diligent at it. Be diligent. Diligence means you ought to resume by 4 o'clock. You are there at that time. We meet you at your duty post. So you have to be consistent. You have to be given to this. That's what I say. So he's saying, you mustn't be slothful. And the word slothful there also connotes to be lazy. Okneros is the word. O-K-N-E-R-O-S. O-K-N-E-R-O-S. To be lazy. So don't be lazy. Be diligent. Don't be lazy. Now, what's he talking about in Romans 12? He's talking about love. Don't be lazy. Some of us are very hard working at work. You're very diligent at work. You get to the office. You leave your house 3 a.m. to get to the to Victoria Island. You get in there by 4. I remember I used to get to Victoria Island before 4 a.m. Sometimes just past 5. And I'll be there and I'll say, wow. And I'll leave the same place by to 11. What a life. I said, that guy, he knows his onions. But then the same person will say, we have a prayer meeting. He strolls in as we are lifting our hands. You know, he is diligent in the world, but not in the things of the Spirit. You can be diligent. So the same way, you will wake up to get to your office early, and you are there on time. The kind of diligence you have when you were a student for your exams. You know, how you are fully prepared. I remember when I was to take common entrance exam. Just the eagerness that I would go to secondary school to write exams. I didn't sleep. I was already awake. So when my dad, because we went to Ibadan to have the exams, when my dad came to the house of our cousins, and he said, he knocked the door. I was ready. My clothes were ironed. I'm going to secondary school. Diligence. I wore the thing. And then he said, I'm not going to let you see Government College Ibadan yet. When I eventually saw what he was hiding from us, I was not disappointed. Selah. So I went, diligence. Get to your examination hall on time. You don't get the examination hall, the exam is 9, get there by 11. You have to understand. Well, do you understand? Yes. Pick up the questions, the answer sheet. Make sure you join others as they submit. That's all. That's all. There's some people tell you, you have a church program, a church service. I have to attend my brother's wedding. Said that before. So you have to understand, it's my brother's wedding. My brother. What about you want to have an examination? Do you write the examination body? The day you fix is my brother's wedding. We cannot take it. I cannot come. Can you please postpone my own paper? Because my brother's wedding is on the examination day. You should have human feelings. But when it is church, you send a text message to your zonal pastor. Dear sir, I want to seek your permission not to be present at the prayer meeting. And as you are seeking the permission, you're already driving towards the wedding. You're almost there. And then you say, you know, and some people don't even get a yes or no. So it's notification. Phanerosis. Or apodexis. Just let you know what I'm about to do. You don't do that in your office, do you? You just text your boss. I will not be around today, okay? Thanks. Okay? You guys are fine. When it's fine, your heart will shift from here to here. You resume at your office, and then somebody is there. So what are you doing at my office? Somebody, what are you doing with my office? Said, did you buy the table and chair? My dad told me, one time I went to visit his office, then it was a bank. It was in the bank. He said, don't let them fool you that this is your office. So what do you mean? He said, when you leave this company, you won't carry this table and chair. It's not your office. It's their office. It didn't enter my brain. I'll never forget. That's for another day. So you are diligent at those things. But when it comes to the house of God, you come in when you like. You have to understand. It's Sunday morning. You step in. Assuming you have early morning briefing. 7:30 in your office. Then You step in by 8:30. Why did you come here at 8:30? I don't enjoy the early morning briefing. I just feel that it's not. Why can't I just start office work? You're there. No, you don't do that. But when you come to church, you miss the prayer aspect. You don't come in. You come in about the time where you're saying, your love is best. Not slothful in business. Hallelujah. Are you following this? You don't choose in service. You serve. You don't select your options. Option A, prayer. No. Praise. Thank you. Option, study for 2 hours. No. I'll come in the middle. You don't choose. Not slothful. Not lazy. Laid back. Some of us are laid back in spiritual things. They're just laid back. Just laid back. Hallelujah. But when they say, your family is having an event, hey! Without telling you about the event, they made you the chairman. They know you can do it. Yeah, brother, we have made you the chairman. Say, So why you need to tell me? We don't have to tell you. We know you. You can connect the entire family and the whole world. You know how to spread IVs. You go from house to house. You have to be there. And then after doing that, you spread invitation letters. You text everybody. Uncle, you're me. It's been ages. Oh, you have to show up. Oh, it's family. Oh, family is everything. Oh. And the people go. And you go everywhere. Then you now tell me, can you teach me evangelism? You know evangelism. What have you been doing? Is that not evangelism? Everybody's there. You know how to arrange the event planner. You call the person up and all that. You know, on the day of the event, you are making phone calls. You say, please be there by 4 o'clock. Don't disappoint me. Don't spoil my name. Don't spoil my reputation. But in the house of God, you're just trolling. You even disturb us. You're saying, go. Like a mighty Russian wind. Where they were seated. So you can choose to be diligent. It's just that your passion and your interest is in the wrong place. Are you still there? They give you a award in your office. Most hardworking manager. Hey! You say, to the glory of God. How? Explain. This is to the glory of God. To the glory of Jesus Christ. I became the most hardworking. For the past 6 years. Have been the most hardworking. You know, something interesting is this. It was 2 days ago. This is funny. I hope today you take this out of the tape. I was watching Mesut Ozil. And I saw he was awarded, again, German Player of the Year. And I said, shh. Because I don't see that in my club. But he does it for his country. So I'm feeling, shh. I said it, maybe in the flesh. But, shh. So you say you are diligent. Where? The glory of God. Say, in your street association, they know you. You are always there, last Saturday of the month, attending the landlord association. You are there. Say, we want to see the most diligent landlord here is that man. He's always there. He never misses one meeting of landlord association. But prayer group. Your name. The person who posts those who didn't come does not edit your name. He's there. They add to your name. They know your name will always be there. Forever you will be. And see where you are diligent. In things that in eternity may never matter. Hallelujah. We say Saints Community Church. Making your life count for the gospel. If you come here and say, they just make, Some of you don't know that in this church, people have gotten awards. I was sharing with a friend. I said, this person was given an international award. This person went to this country. Said, ah, you don't talk about it. Has what? How will it fit into the sermon? Help me out. Tell me where we start it. Just if you tell me, I'll do it. That, you know, that's what we are doing in this church. We are taking over the nations. Say, brother, so last week, you just say, something is wrong with pastor. You know, he has been traveling recently. Let's check his food. So I say, brother. Hey, you know what happened? You want project, so. So I said, mama, baba, shut up. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. So you are diligent, but not for the Lord. That means you can be diligent. It's just that your passion is elsewhere. Hallelujah. Are you still in church? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Jude 3. I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Look at earnestly. They are talking Bible matters. You have been talking since, though. You have spoken. You have talked in a recession. You have mentioned fashion. On Instagram, you are there. You are everywhere. Then I said, let's talk about tithe or prayer. You say, don't let's argue. Don't let's argue. You know the reason? You are lazy. See, don't let's argue. It's not good. You know, it's not good. You see, Muslims don't argue in the public space. They don't. Why can we, children of God? Let us forget all our differences. The way we see God is different. You see, you are going crazy. How did you answer your exam questions in school? You say, the way I see it. You will see vision in the answers. You are just lazy. Someone say, you've been talking, you've been discussing. And I say, the Bible. You know, they say, no, Ephesians 5. You say, it is well. You are just not diligent in spiritual matters. You know, some folks like that, if they come to service, and they will be dozing, that the fish will have swallowed them. In fact, some kind of doze, as the fish sees them, if the one that took Jonah, you say, no, this one is true. This one is true. This one. As soon as the service is over, there's just one strange glory. Have you seen it? The sleep will just disappear. You don't begin. How are you now? You see the same people that were just in the listening service. They are still around, out there, 3 hours. They are still talking. How now? How now? There's just one energy. Because you are diligent at the wrong things. So it's not a prayer meeting that is long. No. You talk 3 hours. Go and check your life. So people have cried all night before. VG. Eva, crying rally. With no help from God. When you try to pray 2 hours, say, Holy Spirit, help me. Why? Were you not the same person who cried overnight? Why is Holy Spirit? Because you are not diligent at spiritual things. Hallelujah. They say, have you discovered, they say, 12 hours prayer, people will not show up. But they say, 12 hours of praise, hey! They all bring their tambourine. And they will not be tired. Why? The same number of hours for praise. Say, 3 hours praise. That's more now. Just bring out a... Just remove the gele and put it like this. Now me and Jesus. But as soon as they say, let us begin to pray. Blah, 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 blah. You see, the energy just go. The person will start to visit the toilet at the throne of grace. So we go four times. Ah! You are not diligent at the wrong things. Hallelujah. You are not doing the wrong things. You are. So find out, why are you not diligent? That means your passion is elsewhere. That's why he says, fervent in spirit. The word fervent is the word zeal. It means to boil. So you are in charge of your fervency. To boil. I remember 1992. I was at College Crescent. Okay, I don't even know. And I sat down. I had just read the stories. In fact, I read Ravenhill. You know, Why Revival Tarries. I read a book by E.M. Bounds, The Power Through Prayer. And I read those books. I couldn't sleep. How some people can sleep after hearing about prayer is a mystery unto me. You hear about prayer and say, ah, I enjoyed that book. How can you enjoy a book on prayer? You enjoyed it. You finish, say, ah, prayer is. Something's wrong with you. You drop the book and you pray. Remember 1994? I read a book by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, The Heart of Intercession. It's now called The Heart of Prayer. And Alone with God by Reverend Francis Waleoke. Then, it was in my cousin's house at Oba, or Sola Crescent, number 8. As I read the book, he had the two books. I prayed till the next day afternoon. How would you read those kind of books and you say, wow, see what? Brother, I dropped it. I prayed. So I was in the college and I said, Lord, I promise you, I will never drop in my zeal. These are men and women. Some of them in the hard times of life, in the struggles of life. And a woman, the woman who was the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley, all the kids, she mentored them together, wasn't the father. And she would maintain 6 hours of prayer every day. All her children rose to be men of God. So we're talking about. You read those things. In the university, I remember we went to pray. We had a prayer group. I went to pray. I was a secretary. They just gave me. So I got there. So it started to rain. My leader, Father Nash, his name is Pastor Oladipo. He's in Lagos here. Probably he's going to hear me say this. Then he said, Emoji. She rain. I said, okay. We all said, okay. As we're about to turn away, they wheeled a guy on a wheelchair. They just wheeled him into the rain to pray. You know, if you don't see those things and you take your eyes away, check your salvation. No? And you just say, sorry. Oh. I saw the guy. He stayed there and he started praying. We, 2 legs. We were running away with it. He's praying. Fervent in spirit. You own your fervency. You are the one that owns it. If throughout the day, all you are watching is Iroko TV, Ibaka TV, you subscribe to all the TVs. After you finish, you watch the goals Nigeria scored against Argentina as though it's a World Cup. You watch it 20 times. Wait then. You have watched that game 5 times. See. So therefore, that will affect your passion. Already. So the man said, let us pray. You know, there are some songs, when you hear the Christian songs, though, as you finish listening to them, if they play a teaching tape, you will sleep off. It's just the anointing for it. Because they are not meant to inspire you. You own your fervency. You know what it takes to be fervent. If there's trouble, some of us know how to stay all night. That's why some people, when they come to me for counseling, I'll tell them, you will have to fast. Say, no problem, anything, sir. I say, 7 days. I used to say 40 days. But now, when it's not of grace, say 7 days. And you do all night. They don't need it though. I just tell them, they need it normally. Say, how do you, sir? Say, so, are you ready? Somebody said, sir, ready. I said, I'll be standing in faith with you. We'll be praying from 12 to 4 every day. Say, sir, anyway, if you say 6, I'll be doing it. I said, are you doing prayer? I'm praying, sir. That you'll be diligent. There was no issue for you to pray. But you have to pray. So since an issue has come up, I'll make you pray. I've not sinned. Pray without ceasing. So you own your fervency. And that fervency must be shown among men. Amongst men. That was zeal, was also used for Apollos in Acts 18:25. You are boiling. It means to be boiling. Boiling water. So when somebody is fervent, it's not a confession. I declare I'm fervent. Who sees? You will be boiling. It will be all over you. Someone say, I don't believe in prayer and shouting. You know, praying, God is not far. Who told you this is about God? You don't believe in prayer and shouting? You know, there's a kind of prayer you go, labor, go say. I say, what's wrong with you? Your Lord and Savior prayed. They heard him. Your Lord, the one who is your Lord. When he was praying at Jordan, they knew he was praying. You are praying. We are saying, why are you not praying? So I'm praying from my heart. From my heart to the heavens. You're not praying. Be fervent. The Bible says Jesus prayed. Hebrews 5:7. He said he prayed and blood. Come on. Said he prayed with strong crying. Sorry, Hebrews 5:7. Matthew 26 tells us in Luke 23. He says blood came out of his body. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Perfect. Then he says, Romans 12:11. He says, serving the Lord. He uses the word, you know, you are doulos. You know, doulos. Doulos means somebody who gave himself over to serve. Doulos. D-U-O-L-O-S. Now, he uses another word. It was a verb. Is duoleo. D-U-O-L-E-U-O. D-E-O-D-U-O-L-E-U-O. It means to choose to belong to another one. That means you just give yourself to prayer. You give yourself to study. You give yourself over. Prayer will not come and demand from you. Are you there? Evangelism will not come and demand from you. You are the one that will give yourself to it yourself. Say, I choose to give myself to this. You now become like a slave of prayer. You become a slave of love. You become a slave of service. It's your choice. Serving the Lord. In Matthew 20, Jesus said, you know, I told you that on Sunday, the mother of James and John, she came to Jesus and said, Lord, can you have one of my sons sit on your right and the left? And all the apostles got angry. What is the meaning of that? This guy is arrogant. He's proud. That means they wanted the same thing. What is nonsense now? The guy doesn't marry out of a servant. How can anyone do that? Why are you angry? Somebody said, well, the next pastor of this fellowship. There was a guy like that. They wanted to choose a pastor on the fellowship. He was already designing himself as a pastor to come in. He brought briefcase. Yes, no, because that's what they call him, called ministry. He brought briefcase. He brought bow tie. He said the Lord told you. So the Lord told you to dress this way. Okay. So he was going. You know. So the people who were choosing, you know, all those campus people can be very funny. They will tell you that it's the Spirit of God. And they will have chosen the name there. In the ballot box. Where's Alex? It is people now. They will put this in. So he thought that the Spirit of God. And they know that in that ballot, just one name. So, and the person who was in charge told me, he said, Emoji, don't mind this guy, he won't be president. So he was going there praying in tongues. They put the hand and brought out somebody's name. I saw on his face. He was like, my God, why have you forsaken me? So I went to meet him. He was not telling me.
He doesn't believe that the Spirit of God did those things that he did. That he wants to change the fellowship. I said, you have a problem. That means you were not going in to serve. You don't need position to serve. Some people can get angry if you don't add brother to their name. Not pastor or brother. He gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some brother. If you say, brother, they feel relaxed. Position. The moment you say, step down from that position, they stop acting. They will become late to church. What's happening? Nothing. I'm okay. Brother, no, I'm not offended at all. It's Jesus. Jesus is everything. But you came late. Oh, I will change next week. In his heart, he's offended. Because he never wanted to serve. Jesus said, he that will be the chief among you will be the servant. He will be found serving. He's not serving God, who is not sinning. No. He's serving others. He's serving others. Some of you attended Believers Convention. You just came in. You did nothing but come. And some people were there a day before, 2 days before, serving, just coming. Wow! What a great meeting. How did it happen? Or you saw a new Jerusalem, your eyes were open to heaven, a new Jerusalem came down, and the meeting came and went back. Some served. They were there. They were there for others. Some cleaned the toilets you used. Some cleaned the floor. After that, so, and they will still come and there and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was serving. He that will be great, Jesus said, will be. He who is serving is the great one. In Matthew 20:28. Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to give himself a ransom for others. He came to minister to others. Same word, similar to the word deacon. He came to serve. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, the sacrifice of Jesus was service. It wasn't just an act of his will in that sense. It was service. He gave himself as a servant. That's what Philippians 2 tells us from verse 6 to verse 9. It said, he obeyed like a servant. That's why calling humility, calling what Christ did in humility, is for lack of words. He served. He put aside his majesty, put aside his glory and honor, and he served. What do you have? Some of you, what you have is a car they brought through the border. Know what that means? With different kind of papers. It had different owners before it came to you. And you let us hear a word. Now come to service. Yeah. Are you not in the ocean department? They tell you, you are supposed to stand there. Say, yes, sir. See this guy that comes out from Okada, Marwa. You are talking to me like that. This guy that normally comes out. You see, in fact, sometimes he comes out from Marwa out there. He still comes inside to come and collect change. Can you see my car? Camry. Bulldog. Is that name? He hold me. No, it's half you. He can't serve. He can't serve. Once in 1995, I went for a program. I was supposed to preach. So I was there. I got there before the ushers and I was arranging the place. And so they just looked at me. Hey, you. So the guy just found, he just one new convert. Said, go and do this as I was doing it. He was so surprised that I was a minister. Yeah? Say, I'm the one. You are not too big to serve. Jesus served. He served us his life and all that he had. Hallelujah. So if you claim that you are attending church service, make sure you are telling the truth. Was it church service you attended? Or the church building? If it's church service, you must have been contributing to somebody. That's service. So, look at Romans 12.
Are you still there? Are you there? Serving the Lord is a verb. Don't say it's a verb. Say serving is a verb. That means an action word. You don't say, I'm serving by confession. I declare in the name of Jesus, I am serving the Lord. I declare, I confess, I profess, I defess, I confess. No. You have to serve. The next verse. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. One of the key ways to serve the Lord is praying for others. Praying for others. Some people are prayerful, but they are prayerful because of their needs. They are prayerful. When you see people go to prayer mountains in this country, prayer mountains, prayer, everything, it's not that they are prayerful, though. They are desperate. They have problems. One of the times I attended, I went to four prayer mountains. So the man who was coordinating the mountain owner, he said, why did you come? I said, this is what's happening to me. Why did you come? So it was going to get to my turn. Why did you come? In Yoruba. Why did you come? He talked to everybody. He got to my point. He said, why did you come? I said, I just came to pray. You don't have enough problem. I said, I just came to pray. The man didn't understand. And you see people that came to that mountain. Fine cars. They will park it somewhere far. And they will remove their shoe. And you now come here, you'll be posing. Say, what's going on here? Did you not go to the bush? To go and look for a man made God. Isn't that prayerful? They have the same person to come for a prayer meeting and we are praying for revelation knowledge for people. Say, what's that? Ephesians 1. No, say, the only prayer I know in Ephesians 1 is, the one I know in Ephesians 1 is we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Which one is the eye of understanding being enlightened? Where is that? No, I know Ephesians 6. No. Against power, specificity and power. That's the one I know. Say no. There's the Ephesians 1:16. Hey, let me see. Are these for men of God? So before you say somebody is prayerful, ask what is he or she praying for? Is it prayer as a service or prayer for selfish things? Are you there? So he says in Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, love your enemies. How about that? He says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And he says, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You cannot walk in love towards somebody without praying for the person. You pray. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So, the service of prayer means you are advancing the cause of others, not your own. The service of prayer means that you are advancing the cause of others, not your own. You are advancing the cause of others and not your own. Go back to Romans 12. He says to continue. Look at that word continue. It's the word proskatereo. I'll spell it for you. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O. It means to be ready all times. To just be on the alert. That is, it is not an event. It's a readiness of mind that you have. Continuing instant in prayer. That is, you are ready to always pray. You are willing. And you see, the interesting thing about that word is that it was used in Acts 1:14, which we're about to see. Before the day of Pentecost, the church continued that way. That is, there was just prayer. I remember when we were in secondary school, my final year in school, somebody had some need on his heart. The brother is in America now, he's in the ministry. His name is Ademola Sadikwe. He said, the Lord told him that we should be ready to pray at all times. So, we got to a point that
We could pray at any time. That is, we now said, if you have a burden to pray, wake everybody up and we're going to pray. So we're praying. But that brother was a dangerous guy. He always had burdens. So I told him, I said, Shadim, we call him Shadum. Say, Shadum, I won't be sleeping in your room again. We just finished a prayer meeting. Shadum just said, oh no, I just sense, I said, the first day he sends, second day he sends at the MOG. Please. I have exams. But that was a culture. It was a culture. Secondary school, it was a culture. We'll be there all night praying together. Hallelujah. All night. One time I got that brother, we wanted to eat. I remember we had fasted. Yam and palm oil. Pray for us. I said, look, emoji. I just took the yam and started eating. After fasting. Which is praying, this prayer, you are praying it. After fasting, I took the day and just said, the funny thing was that he was supposed to break the fast. He was saying, oh God, hear the cry of your people. Cry, no. It's the hunger of your people. But you know the thing? Years after that, I was grateful for such a person. Such an influence. That you know how to pray at any time. You can pray. Say, let us go and pray. Yeah. You didn't tell me no. You have told me like early in the year. So I'll program. Not so. Say, tell me on time. It's not true. Somebody will inform you last week that his great grandmother has died. Come and follow him to the east land of Ekiti. You say, what is it Saturday? Okay, it's fine. And you're on your way. And I say, we need to give you, prographo before you pray. No prographo. Okay, let me give you another one. We need to come to you in a prophetess. Say, you know, in times and shadow. No. We want to pray. Let us pray. Say, you should have told me now. He said, continue standing prayer. You must be ready to pray. You are a servant. Hallelujah. But why did we pray for 1 hour today? Pastor should have put it on the bulletin. Are you a child of God? You're a child of God. Put on a blessing for you, which will inform you before we pray. Sorry, which kingdom are you for? Are you sure it's not for the power of darkness to the power of the darker world? I know churches where they will print flyer for prayer meeting. We're going to be praying November the 16th. Prayer, hey, and it's 7 to 8. Seven to eight. So when they bring comedians there, you know they need it. Say, how can you announce prayer meeting like a special event? What then do you do during the week? Acts 2:42. The same word was used for the church. They continued. Acts 2:46, the same word. Spoke arterial, same word. Acts 6:4, we will not leave the word of God to serve tables, we'll give ourselves continually, see the word, continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Are you there? See, I pray. I'm given to prayer. Look at the prayers of the epistles. They were the supreme prayers in the epistles were not prayers for self. Hallelujah. They're not prayers for self. Does it mean that the people did not have their challenges and problems? They did. But we have entered a realm of selflessness. We have left that realm of selfishness where everything is about myself, me, myself, and I. Even praying for your children may be selfish. Because your children. Have you ever prayed for something that does not involve you? And then you involve yourself. You involve yourself. It's not about you. It won't bring any particular profit to you. But You take it upon yourself like it's all about you. Look at Romans 5:15. Paul said, pray for us. Romans 15 says, strive with me together. Verse 30. Look at how we start. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and my service which I have for the saints in Jerusalem may be accepted. Pray. Pray for us. I watched a prayer meeting. They were praying against recession. People were sweating, shouting, oh God, oh God, oh God. And they were shameless enough to put it on Facebook. You are praying against recession. How? So God, every spirit that is causing the economic indicators to change in this country, we say, oh spirit, turn back the indicator. Is that what you are praying about? And they were shouting, oh God, oh God. Not long after that, the pastor now asked him, how many of you lost your jobs? A lot of people stood up. Because they were praying for the wrong things. Most of what we pray for in Nigeria are a result of bad government. They are not spiritual. They are not spiritual things. Bad government. If you go to a country well governed, those prayer points will not exist again. So you don't say you have a prayer life. Not yet. Not yet. Even those who travel to the abroad, sometimes their fervency is because of papers. Lord, they know they bought me. Lord, in this country, I will find my Goshen. I will find. You still have not changed. This is my Goshen. It's my Goshen. I have reached my land of milk and honey. Mammon is real. It's real. You pray. Look at Paul's prayers. Ephesians 1:16 to 23. I cease not to make mention of you always in my prayers. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not your people, or wisdom and revelation in your spirit. Or spiritual wisdom and revelation. Knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He's praying for them. He's not even asking you to pray for yourself. We only pray for ourselves. He's the one doing the praying. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He begins to pray. Again. He's the one praying. Now, by the time he gives us the instruction to pray, he mentions the old armor of God. Then in verse 17, he says, I'm taking unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God praying. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto all perseverance for all saints. Just like he showed you the example in chapter 1, verse 16 to 23, and chapter 3, verse 14 to 23, he expects that you should pray for others. Are you following what I'm saying here? So Paul prayed, not that so that we can be praying for ourselves all the time. He prayed so that you can also pray for others. Are you there? Look at Colossians. Colossians. If your prayer life is all about you, it's all about you, then you have something coming. Sorry, Philippians. He had prayed for the saints in verse 9 to 11. That they were abound in knowledge and joy in all judgment. In verse 11, be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Then, look at verse 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He had prayed for them. He now told them, they should pray for him. Service. In Philippians 4:6, he mentions, be anxious for nothing, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In strict application, he was talking to them in the midst of persecution. Philippians 4:6. In Colossians 1, he prayed for them again. In Colossians 1, he's praying. Every time you read the Pauline prayers, that is Paul's prayer ministry. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's Paul's prayer ministry. He's praying for this cause also. So you heard it, Colossians 1:9. Cease to pray for you, not to pray for you. Cease not to pray for you, sorry, and to desire that you be not, you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He prays for them. Then in chapter 4, he's talking to the same people. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3, Colossians 4, with our praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond. So, in telling you he prayed, he now instructs you to pray for others. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. But look at 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. See the prayers. They are channeled towards others. But when you see some strange doctrine, they'll just pick something somewhere. From one scripture, they'll say, do you know Ahithophel? He was advising against David. Every spirit, take it, every Ahithophel. Are you okay? Who in your Bible raised such a stupid prayer point? Say, men and brethren. Okay. When Moses got there, they were magicians. There is always a counterfeit miracle to your real miracle. So they're going to say, Father Lord, same person. Father, every magician, we pray with. Who gave you those useless prayer points? The prayers are very clear. Are you there? Those prayers build in you something close to a satanic identity. Selfish identity. It is prayer for others. That's the supreme prayers. Those are the supreme prayers in the epistles. Because you are a doulos. You are a servant of God. Say, I'm a servant of God. I please him all the time. I don't pray primarily to please myself. I pray to please my Savior and my Master. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Pray for us. When last did you spend a whole night praying? Say, Lord, I pray for Saints Community Church. I pray. I know that the word of God should grow there. And you spend the whole night, not prayer group and not prayer chain. Just say, I want the word of God to grow there. When last did you lift your voice and you prayed for the church in China? When last? And you took 3 hours. Sometimes you criticize churches that you don't pray for. When last did you pray for those churches? And lifted up your voice. Look, ask anybody who has been in ministry for 10 years will tell you. We pray for all the major churches in Nigeria. How often? Very often. We don't just come and speak. We pray for them. And we are still praying. Hallelujah. Has there been a war to just come and don't pray for churches? None. I'm saying since 1998. Every year. We spend hours. Hallelujah. So we don't just talk. We're not talking out of grievance. No. We are talking out of a spirit birth compassion. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You're just preaching. What to take over? Take over what? Oh, what to take over? And you are not praying for people. You are just a loud mouth rabble rouser. Prayer meeting, he sleep that's taking over. Sleep to take over. Put your knees down and pray. Pray for us. You are a servant. When you are a servant, it's not your will. I remember a teaching I heard, I listened to Rick Godwin. 1994. They called it the unreasonable Christian. And that day I was listening to it in the house of my friend, Pastor Gwenga Morapa. He lived at Osolo Way. 1994. And Rick Godwin said, he used the example of those 2 milking cows. Oh my God. This is coming real to me here. 2 milking cows. When they took the ark from, Israel to the Philistines. And then they had problems. And then he said, when they put the ark on those, or when they were to return the ark,
And the guy said, let's watch. That if this ark, if it's that this ark is supernatural, if we put it on these milking cows, whose natural instinct is to go to their babies, we'll know whether it's supernatural or not. Because we'll put it on them and they'll still go back to their babies to feed them. Because they're milking. They're breastfeeding now. Said that they put that ark on those two milking cows. They were complaining because instinct says go back. But they kept going straight. 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 They had their challenges. They had their instinct. They had what they wanted for themselves. But something was upon them that made them to keep going. To keep going. To keep going. Then he said, if an animal knows how to obey God, how much more you and I? Then he laughed. The last words he dropped, read God with. He said, I'm watching all my friends. Whether when challenges of life come, when different pieces of life come, when you have your own problems, whether you will still carry the ark, complaining as you go, but knowing you will serve the Lord no matter what. When you have a prayer ministry, it doesn't matter what is going on in your own life. Paul had his own challenges. Paul had things that he couldn't fix. He had stuff here and there that came up here and there. Paul's business was so prosperous that at a point in time he needed assistance from others. Yet, this was a man praying always for you. Always. When he said praying always for them in Ephesus, he was in jail. When he was praying always in Ephesus, he was in jail. In Philippi, he was in jail. In Colossae, he was in jail. Yet he was praying. You and I, well, maybe not you and I, some will have just, what would be on your mind when you are in jail for the gospel? How do I get out of here? That was not what he was praying about. He was praying for those who heard the word, that the word will grow in their lives. That is a prayer ministry. We need to know the difference. There's prayer, and then there's the ministry of prayer. In Acts 1:14, the church knew it. As you know, Jesus never told the disciples, you know what, till the day of Pentecost, be praying. It's just an initiative. You know, anytime you are serving the Lord, you must be praying. They knew that you had to pray. So they continued praying. If I don't know what they were doing on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, I knew they were praying. It was just, you don't have to be told. You are a servant. You keep praying. You wake up, you pray. You are good. It should be part of you. Part of you. It should be part of you. Hallelujah. See, I receive the ministry of prayer. I'm given to prayer. They were just praying. Acts 2:42, Acts 2:46. So again, Acts 3. See how consistent it was. Acts 3 again. Peter and John were going to the temple in what? In the hour of what? Prayer. How can you sit down, you see preachers strategizing? In our ministry, we don't have such meetings. We don't strategize how to keep you. Guys, have we ever done kind of meetings? Never. How do we make people not come to church? We have never held that meeting before. Not even when we are on drugs. Are we on drugs? Never. We just pray. There was a time some people were saying some horrible things about this ministry. And then they came to me. I said, Lan, come. It wasn't the pastor then. I said, come. Called all of them. I said, just go and pray. Don't let anything distract you. Go and pray. You don't respond. Respond to what? I don't have time. I've got too much rank for that. You go pray. It should drive you to your knees so that the gospel will keep running. All they want to do for you is take your eyes off what you are doing. Keep praying. You don't have those times. When we're having any special meeting, we pray extra. We don't say, how do we do the music? Come on. Who do we bring? Never. Never in my life. I've not been taught like that. David said to Saul, he said, I cannot go in this. I'm not used to it. We pray. So I said, my dear friend, I said, sir, when it comes to the work of the ministry, I don't rationalize. I just pray. I don't rationalize. I said, I know when it comes to business, I know how to think. When it comes to other things, I know how to think. But when it comes to ministry, it's not my job. Mine is to serve. I just pray. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Are you still there? They prayed. Acts 6. We give ourselves, verse 4, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Can you imagine Saul of Tarsus as he met the gospel, as he met the Lord? What did Ananias find him doing? He was praying. You don't have to be told this. It's a part of the Christian life. It's a part of the Christian service. In Acts 13, verse 1 and 2, when they were in the church at Antioch, pay attention. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The whole church, they fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barabbas and Saul for the work we have to have called them, verse 2. And the Bible says, they now prayed. That is, getting a direction is not the end of prayer. You continue praying. In fact, that direction is more of an inspiration to keep praying. Yorubas have a saying. Say, what is good requires prayer. The one that is not good also requires. There's no time to stop praying. I remember Professor Barra told me years ago. He said, pray so you can, so you should not pray. You have to keep praying. You have to keep praying. It's a ministry. It's a service. If you stop praying for others, you stop serving the Lord. You have to keep praying. Are you there? Are you there? So when we read Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry of prayer. Are you there? For the work of the ministry of prayer, the job of your pastor is to train you to pray for others. Your pastor running out prayer points for your business, running out prayer points to attack the ancestral causes. He's not training you. He's not teaching you Christ. When he teaches you Christ, you will learn to pray for others. Are you there? Jesus did not just talk about prayer. He taught his disciples to pray. Let me ask you. I'm closing with this. Do you attend prayer meetings of believers? If you don't, why? Why don't you pray with other believers? Why? Oftentimes, because your life is not a life of service. You pray with other believers. Prayer groups during the week, the vigil. At a time like that, in 1998, I told the choir of the church I pastored them, I said, we are going to pray next Saturday. The choir was very large, you know, and they wear different dresses, blue, yellow, red, and all that. They will even make choir hairstyle. Jesus. So, you see them, they will say, as I got in there, I said, these ones, they are too large. How can a choir be this large? What are they singing? I said, I know what to do. We are going to pray. In prayer, we separate the wheat from the chaff. So I said, next week, Saturday, we're praying 7 to 7. Their eyes, 7 to 7:30. No, 7 to 7. A choir of 7, I think they were over 100 or so. We barely had 20. That week, the signs of the end time happened to everybody. Rumors, wars and rumors of war. Earthquakes. Things were happening. People were losing their grandmother. They were reburying those who were dead. So when I saw those who came, and when they were praying, you know, when I leave prayer, you don't sit down. You don't sit down. So Bible says, when you stand praying, or you, or I bow my knees. And you may pray. Jesus is part of it. If someone says, Abba Father, Abba Jesus, Abba Holy Ghost. That was 2001, right? 2001.
The moment I got the number that prayed, I said, this is a new choir. If you cannot pray for us, don't sing to us. Don't sing at us. Matthew 17. Jesus told Peter, James, and John to pray. As a pastor, even when people are dozing, don't stop making them pray. Someone was telling me, say, sir, but in some of these prayers, people are sleeping. No, it's part of the training. Peter, James, and John will sleep. Jesus used to take them again. In Matthew 26, he took them again to pray. Doesn't change. But you know, later on, they got the heart of prayer. The same people who were dozing now continued in prayer and supplication. Same. Training may not be easy, but when you have it, you have it. Pastor Christians will say, there's a train of the Spirit. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can't fake it. You can't manufacture it. You can't package train of the Spirit. It's unpackaged. It's a fire. Are you giving to prayer? When last did you attend your church vigil? When last did you do it? When last did you gather with believers to pray? Acts 14. When last did you fast with other believers? Not that, you know, when we are fasting with other believers, it's not your problems we are fasting about. When last, Acts 14:23. They fasted and prayed to commend the elders to the Lord. When last did you fast with others? It's time to receive that ministry of prayer. We have the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry to teach the gospel. We also have the ministry of prayer. I'll close in Colossians 4 and verse 11. Sorry, verse 12. Help of us, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Do you pray for others? Do you pray for others? Do you pray for others? Can you spend a whole night? Are you not talking about yourself? Can you spend 2 days? I mean, you took a leave to go and have a prayer retreat, and there was nothing about yourself you were praying about. If you haven't, and you don't, then you have not started serving Christ. Let us bow our heads.